Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, and thank you for listening to the Wise Women Media Radio Show. We're here for another episode. Tonight we're going to focus on a mic check, but we will have some interesting guests. One has just popped on just now. First, before I introduce her, I want to thank our sponsors, which are Roundtree 7, Here Be Monsters, Daughters of Isis, Hoodooed, Power New Media and Public Relations, Tarot and Stars, Florida Nature Photos, and hit us up on our blog at wisewomenmedia.posteris.com. At the WePay link, you can contribute or donate to help keep our show on the air. I also did want to let people know that you can also see us on my blog at hoodooed.blogspot.com. We are part of the Here Be Monsters network, and there's a show, I believe, every night on that network on Blog Talk Radio. The song we just heard was by K.D. Lang, one of the best covers I've ever heard of any song at any time, anywhere, and the song itself was called The Air That I Breathe. That was on her Drag album, which came out in 1997. So let me introduce you all to our first guest. Hi, Charisse, are you with me?
Yes, I am, Anita.
Hi, Charisse, if you want to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do, and then we can go on to the topic that we kind of decided we were going to speak about maybe an hour ago. So you've got the floor.
All right. My name is Charisse Tabone, and by profession I'm an environmental scientist, but I guess this evening we're going to talk politics. I've been an activist in different areas concerning civil rights, the environment, the anti-war, you name it. And we're going to talk about, I believe, third-party system politics, and basically how it's really difficult for anybody to break into, actually really, to break out of the two-party system. You ran Green Party, correct?
Right.
Yourself, so you know what it's like.
Yeah, the Green Party, and then there's the Libertarian Party and the Constitutional Party, and there really is so many more. I used to know the number of how many third parties are actually registered as parties in the state of Florida, and for some reason I'm thinking that it might be 65, but I may be wrong about that.
I think they have to be
registered parties, and there's a lot of voices out there. Some of us that are on different third parties can think alike on a lot of issues. On other issues entirely, we're completely, you know, our take is completely different. But we're all people, and we all have a viewpoint, and I don't, you know, I've been watching these elections for years now, and what I don't understand is the almost complete omission or existence of third parties in any kind of electoral process to include
right.
the debate
and
the
media.
It's
funny because I was in Germany in April, and I went to Berlin, and I visited the Reichstag, and they have a real representation of many parties there in their Congress, and
mm-hmm.
they actually have a floating number of seats where they can add more seats, and it's basically demographically distributed. Here,
mm-hmm.
if you think about it, how many women do we have in Congress or the Senate? We're like 50% of the population, yet we do not have representation. And we've never
I think the actual percentage is 53%, which means that would make us the majority.
Exactly.
So that's my question, too, is why we are not adequately represented in Congress or anywhere. That doesn't seem to make any sense to me.
We're
you know?
A so-called superpower. Yet we've never even had a female president. We're really behind the times.
Well, we haven't even ratified the ERA when you want to get
That's
down
true.
To that. I mean, we haven't ratified it in all states. So if we want to get technical, you know, the women really get the crap end of the stick. I mean, as far as from what I can see. So
I agree totally. And back to the two-party deal, my husband ran for U.S. Congress this term in Florida, District 12. His name is John Russell, and he ran no party. And it's funny, he had NPA listed after his name, and a lot of people don't even know what NPA is because, well, as a society, we're not used to seeing no party. There's no rule that says you even have to have a party.
Right, right. You should be able to get any kind of ballot. It shouldn't be like a Democratic or a... And then it's funny, if you go into the polling places and you ask for... and you tell them what ballot would you like, Democratic or Republican? And then you're going, I'm a Green. Mm-hmm. And they don't even know what you're... The workers there don't even know what you're talking about. That I find really disconcerting, you know.
Well, even people asked... my husband, John, if he was running as an independent, but actually I believe there's an independent party. So that's why he had to run no party. So he was beholden to no particular agenda. And because
right.
they make you basically follow, or they suggest that you follow whatever the party you know, is for. And that's why people that are on opposite ends of the spectrum, they're not popular. I mean, even if you look at the Republican Party, Ron Paul was not popular because he went against a lot of what their agenda is.
I think that we have to have election reform, but it has to go hand in hand with media reform, and if you have one without the other, it's not going to work. You know, it's just not going to work. So
it's funny, here locally, people seem to think the Tampa Times is a liberal paper, and they were the ones that really were unfair and have always been unfair. When my husband ran for Congress, he's run before too. He ran before as under the Democratic Party. He was speaking, and maybe he can call in later, but he was speaking to the editor of the Times. I believe his name is Mr. Nickens, and he wasn't even aware of the term, the fourth estate or the fourth arm of government being the media. And that is what, to have a true democracy, the media is supposed to be there to be unbiased and to dispense information, not propaganda like what they're doing now.
Right.
And they omit information. To be a third-party person or no-party person, they don't even include you in the lineup. And, I mean, look at on the presidential side, the debates did not include Greens or Libertarians or any other. They had to have their own debate, and I thought it was pretty interesting. I watched it. It was quite lively and good.
The debates were watched by very few people. I know a lot of people probably tuned in on the live streams of these different debates and checked them out on archives later. But when they were actually being viewed, it was a very small amount of people. So we were really desperately trying to get people to watch those, you know, and tweeting about them and really getting very active on the social networks, but it didn't seem to bring a lot of viewers in. And I can only hope that people watched later, you know.
Well,
I'm really hoping that happened. But
the people seem to think that there's only two choices because the newspapers, the voting guides, only show either the Democratic Party or the Republican. They don't have any other people listed. So they are supporting this system, which is really not democratic.
Yeah.
I
want to know,
people.
I mean, I'm just going to throw this question out there, and you can answer it if you think you can, because the question is, where do we go from here? what happens in 2016, in 2014 for that matter, in 2016? What happens now? Where do we go? How do we try to change this in 4 years? Because we were faced with this same question in 2008, mm-hmm. and it didn't get any better in 2012. It got worse.
Well, you know, unless we move to amend, you know, the Citizens United.
Yeah, excuse corporate.
Then
big issue
it's going
that
to get
is,
increasingly worse. That's the problem.
Yeah, what happens?
Money.
You know, I just don't have a lot of hope of that actually being completed throughout the country in 2014 or 2016.
I don't know either.
About you, but I'm sure we can work towards that bit by bit. But I just think the time frame is...
No. It's going to be a real long time. It's funny. You do have a few independent or no-party type people that have won. I mean, if you think about it, Jesse Ventura, he was elected as governor,
right.
and he was independent. Bernie Sanders.
Right.
He is independent. I think it needs to start on the local level, where you have elections with third-party people or no-party people, and then people will get used to the idea. But unfortunately, looking at the outcome of my husband's election in District 12, even though there were four people in the race, there was a Republican, the incumbent, Gus Bilirakis, who had a scandal against him, which that's a whole nother story. Also, there was a Democratic candidate who was 25 years old. Most people didn't know this. And had been working at Walgreens for about 6 years, and he decided to run, or he was put up to run. Then you have another gentleman, no party, who filed an hour before the deadline to file. And he was basically a Tea Party person. And then John Russell, my husband. And people voted for the same two parties, even though they had a choice.
Right.
Gus Bilirakis received about 65% of the vote. And the 25-year-old, Mr. Snow, received 32%, and my husband received 2%, and Mr. Elliott received 1% of the vote. And it's just blind loyalty.
If husband had run under the Democratic Party, he would have gotten more votes. There's no question.
He would have, but I don't know. He might have, but he might have gotten 33. I think it was a default vote. Anybody that is a Democrat seems to vote for their own party. I think the independents probably tend to vote Republican, at least in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Bilirakis, who is, I hate to be politically incorrect, but he's just not the sharpest tool. And it's astounding that he won, but then we could also talk about crooked elections and all the other hurdles and stuff. That's a whole nother show. But I just seem to think that people just blindly vote the way they're told or what they think they're supposed to do.
Did you have a lot of contact with people that were devoted Obama followers, supporters? What was your take on that? Because to me, it was almost like some of these people were hypnotized. I can't think word to use. It was like they were going to vote for him no matter what. He could have committed a murder in front of them and they would have voted for him.
That's true. And even Mitt Romney, I mean, look at his lack of credentials and ethics as well. It's almost like a fever. It's not an election anymore. It's more of a popularity contest, like a celebrity popularity contest.
Right.
I think the whole flavor is lost. That this, we're talking about our lives here. We're talking about people that want to go in and cut Medicare, cut Social Security, and, you know, bargain with our livelihoods here. And this is not to be taken lightly. I mean, when you have a 25-year-old, for example, who's a retail clerk running for U.S. Congress, and he's probably doing it for his resume or who knows, it's just ludicrous to think that we have that here. I mean, we have people dying overseas in this godforsaken war. We have people losing their homes. This is not student body president election. This is serious business. And they're making a mockery of the system.
Yeah, and you could see that really on the news. If anybody that's listening saw the news over the past several months, it got to the point where I just had to turn it off because it was like the personality.
Like regurgitation. Puke on the TV. it's bad. Yeah.
And
I'm glad it's over. But
yeah, I was at that point too when it became over. I was like, oh my God, I'm just glad this is the end of it, because I really couldn't take any more. It was just.
And I read that about $2-3 billion were spent on advertisements, et cetera. Why do we have an election run for 2 years? In other countries, it's maybe a month or two. I mean, it's just totally ludicrous the way we run things here. And $2 billion, $3 billion, how many jobs could that have, you know, been created with that kind of money?
It's a lot to think about. What do you think? So much has happened within the past couple of weeks with news, and it's almost like they've really tried to keep the news at a very clipped pace, even with this so-called scandal, which to me really isn't any kind of scandal.
Oh, the Petraeus,
because they
Jill
haven't
Kelly.
Not anything illegal. I don't understand what, you know, the big issues are with that whole thing. I mean, obviously there was some kind of impropriety.
There is a problem. I see a problem just like I see with Gus Bilirakis and the FEC Jester scandal. These are people with sensitive information, Homeland Security committees, et cetera, like with Gus Bilirakis. And loose lips sink ships. Look at Mata Hari. I mean, when you have sex and security don't go together. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, that's very true. And, you know, like I said, we don't really know what these girls did. We don't know who they did. And, you know, all we're going on is what the media is telling us. These people have not spoken out. So, you know, it's almost like this is being covered up. This is being put out in the press to cover up something that we're not supposed to see, you know.
It's probably a distraction away from the fact that our Social Security, our Medicare are going to be bargained away. Other things are going on. It's just a distraction. It's titillating, and anything with sex seems to get a lot of airtime. Election fraud, voter fraud, things that really matter are not sexy enough to be covered.
What do you think of the newest secessionist movement? Because I haven't been following the numbers.
Yeah, with Texas. Are you following? I just saw something about that. What's with Texas?
Well, it's not just Texas now. Apparently all 50 states. Oh, we have a caller. Let me zap him in. Hang on just a
cool.
second. Hi, caller from 843. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
My name's Larry, and I'm calling from Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, hi. So we were talking about third parties. Was that what you wanted to comment on, or did you have anything else?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't think we should even call them third parties. I think we should call them, you know, genuine parties, because the Republicans and the Republicans, they are simply a single agency who are basically continued status quo. In other words, there's no difference between Mitt Romney and President Obama. They're both going to continue a worldwide slaughter, just murdering people for oil profits, and, mm-hmm. and they're not going to stop global warming, and they're just not going to put people to work. We need 25 million jobs. Mm-hmm. We got 3 million people foreclosed out of their homes, and they don't care about people suffering. They only care about keeping the banks going and Wall Street happy. So they were both Wall Street twins, and the only people who were talking about real change were Governor Johnson and Dr. Stein. So that's what I have to say.
Well, thank you very much. Charisse, did you want to reply to that, or did you have anything to say?
I agree with him totally. The Democratic Party and the Republican Party both feed off the same trough, the same benefactors. There is no difference. You either have Tweedledee or Tweedledum. They're the same. And the media is supporting this false sense that we only have two choices. I mean, third parties, or like he said, the genuine, authentic parties are being suppressed. It's so difficult to get your name out and to actually get known. I mean, my husband, being a no party, he was using Facebook ads as one tactic because everybody seems to be on Facebook. But even if you bombard people with ads, or even if you have billboard signs, the other no party gentleman had billboard signs everywhere, lawn signs, people still vote out of blind loyalty. It's what they've always done. I don't know what we have to do to break the chain. If anybody has a suggestion, please throw it out there.
Yeah. Caller, do you have a suggestion, or do you have a reply to that?
Well, absolutely. I've been active with the Green Party since the early 90s, and both Ralph Nader and Congressman McKinney and Mr. David Cobb of Texas, as well as Dr. Stein of Massachusetts, have all been 100% for ending the monopoly of the debate corporation. It's a corporation. It's owned by Budweiser. And so, you know, as long as you have a corporation that excludes people who are 100% qualified under presidential matching funds, that should be the only legal test for including someone in the national debates. I mean, we can't put everybody on. You can just, for a couple hundred dollars, you can get on the ballot in New Hampshire. But if you've got, over $500,000 raised like Dr. Stein, or millions of dollars raised like the governor of New Mexico, you know, these people should not be excluded. But, of course, mm-hmm. the other problem we have is National Public Radio and public television. We're paying for that with our tax money, and they're continuing this complete censorship of real candidates running for office, and then just talking about the horse race between an incompetent serial felon. This man has brutally violated several felonies since he's 17 years old, and yet he's treated like a legitimate candidate for president. Mitt Romney belongs in jail, not running for president. And of course, our president is a war criminal. I belong to Veterans for Peace, and we've been asking for the impeachment of the president for the last year and a half. He murdered, 50,000 people in Libya just last year. And he had no legal right to do it. That makes it a war crime, because we didn't declare war against Libya. We just allowed al-Qaeda to invade Libya to go kill Gaddafi. And we launched 117 cruise missiles from United States submarines into the country of Libya. All of that was done illegally, and the man in the White House does not belong to stay there. He should be removed from office and put in jail. He's a war criminal. And he's given, like, $8 trillion to the banks in just 3.5 years. I mean, this man has raided the Treasury. He has no right to stay in office. We need people telling the truth. And we should be calling each one of our local newspapers and our local TV and radio stations and demanding equal time for the real candidates who are running for president. That's the only way we're going to solve the problem.
They're corporations, too. And they're there to protect the status quo. That's their job.
Exactly.
It's not like what they're supposed to do is be the watchdogs and be the, well, and to ensure democracy, the fourth estate, which they're supposed to do. Even the so-called, our local WMNF, which is a community radio station, they rely on contributions from people in the area. They refuse to have my husband, who was a no-party candidate, on the air. He has to call in as a caller instead of being interviewed. They interviewed the Democratic Party person in a local race, but they're suppressing. They're progressive, as I call them. I don't know what to do. I mean, even if we had our own, okay, granted, Anita, you have the internet radio, but if we could have the old-fashioned radio waves, like the old college stations and stuff, we could get the word out. How do we get the word out?
Yeah, this has been going on for some time here, and I just, I'm sorry, caller, what's your first name again?
It's Larry.
Hi, Larry. I'm also with Veterans for Peace, so I understand exactly how you feel, and this is what we're up against. I mean, I live, you know, this is the situation we're in. I live with a black man. There's a black family that lives next door to me who are Obama supporters. You know, mm-hmm. when I even tried to get in a conversation with them about Obama and the crimes that have been committed, they didn't want to hear it. Even my partner didn't want to hear it. So this is where we're at. This is why we're at such a wall. As Charisse had said, our local community radio station. I remember the night that I won my election, and I run as nonpartisan, but I'm with the Green Party. But my position is nonpartisan, so I can't, in the state of Florida, I can't promote my party. So there's all kinds of restrictions regarding that. But the night that I won, Rob Lori, who practically, you know, pretty much is a huge part of that station from the very beginning, its inception, announced and called it for me on my particular seat that I hold now. But they never once had me on for an interview. Never
I
once.
Know. Yeah,
so
because
I'm looking at this.
They're supporting it. They're supporting the squad.
Yeah, they're supporting the duopoly.
Yeah.
Yeah. They support,
I mean, not
duopoly.
Only you were a woman, they should have had you on as a woman and as a Green Party person.
Right.
You were the only woman in the race, and they should have had you on, and that really upset me when they did that.
Yeah, so this is community radio driven, this is NPR. Anybody that is almost any, I can't think of any radio stations right now that I've heard that,
well, even
the
so-called
system, and that
WMNF, the so-called liberal station, they will often have right-wingers on. They're almost being like Fox News, where they're trying to be, quote, fair and balanced. But then we know, of course, Fox News is a joke. But these so-called faux-aggressive radio stations or organizations, all they do is sit around and do fundraising. And they always do it in the fall, at the same time the election is going on and people are tapped out anyway. I really think there shouldn't be any parties at all. I think it should be individuals running for office. But it helps keep the flawed system by having a party. It's almost like this team mentality. You're on my team, the winning team. I think we should be individuals and to let the best person win.
I think I was ready to post, and I didn't do it. I should have done it. Remember the old Rock'em Sock'em robots?
Yeah, I do.
Like the red and blue and the little and the little thing, you know, that they fight in, the ring, you know.
Yeah, I know exactly. That was from the 60s. I remember all that.
Yeah, I was going to post that picture or a video of it on my Facebook page like a day or two before the elections. I didn't do it, but I thought this is exactly what we're up against. And when you heard the commentators on the media, it was they were saying derogatory things about Romney, and then they were saying derogatory things about Obama, and it went back and forth and back and forth. But in the meantime, all these other different voices did not get heard.
No,
they just
suppression.
Didn't get heard. So Larry, what do you think we can do? We've got 4 years, well, actually 2 years before local elections and then 4 years before another presidential election. What do we do now? Do you have any ideas?
I'm begging Dr. Stein to declare that she's running now for 2016. And additionally, we can, of course, lobby Congress and, you know, tell our senators and tell our member of Congress, we want the Green New Deal. We want 25 million jobs. The money's already there in the military, and it's being, you know, squandered by a man who can't keep his pants zipped up, and he's the one that invaded Libya with Al-Qaeda. And then they have no way of getting him out of there, and then they wonder why. On 9/11, our ambassador gets murdered with three Marines get killed. So we have to continuously talk about what really happens, what the truth is all about. What is needed is 25 million jobs right now. What is needed, we have to stop making fossil fuel engines and start replacing them with hydrogen, clean, safe fuel. We got to shut down the nuke plants, and we have to tell everyone who represents us that this has to be done now. We had earthquakes here in South Carolina, and we have cracks in the nuke plants. So the reactor core is made out of concrete and steel, and it leaks because the earthquakes shattered the containment process. And
I just read an article about that. I believe it was yesterday, and I posted that article to the Facebook wall. I was quite surprised because the person who sent that article to me was saying that the media was not covering that at all. Nobody, in fact, I had not even heard it until she sent me the article. So I was quite surprised over that. But we have a plant here that I think they're going to end up closing it down because it was so badly damaged. It had a crack.
It's been offline for a couple of years, and they want to build a new one at our taxpayers' expense.
Right, and at Levy County. But the one that's up at Crystal River scares me because I was able to speak to somebody who had worked there, and he said that the containment wall for the fuel rod pools is only 20 feet high. And if we were to get a really, really bad hurricane and we get a storm surge that's over 20 feet, we're done for.
Yeah.
Because if that wall comes down or the water goes over it and goes into those pools and then sloshes out, then we're all contaminated here. So these are things that people aren't thinking about. And you know, they tried to inundate us for quite a while with natural gas commercials and, you know, clean energy. And I noticed that all those commercials have stopped now. I don't see them anymore because I think they realize that the American people are on to this and they don't want this. And most Americans I know, whether they're Republican or Democrat, don't want fracking and don't want nuclear power.
So I don't know.
It's only that's what I see anyway in my neighborhood. I don't know about anywhere else.
I was working the polls and talking to people, and a lot of these people are still talking about, the pipeline. We want the pipeline from Canada. And I'm thinking, you're idiotic. I mean, they're pushing that. Hearing the right-wingers talk, we have all these natural resources, like the natural gas and fracking. They have no concept about the environment or that we could be doing other things, more wind. And you don't see terrorist attacks on windmills or explosions on windmills,
Or on solar panels.
Exactly.
It's such a wonderful solution. It was funny. There was another funny solution I heard tonight about, Gaza and Israel. That was, somebody said, why don't they just duke it out on Twitter?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they could just have their war, but only have
it on Dancing with the Stars or something.
You just tweet your insults back and forth. And I thought, that'd be a great idea. That's not such a bad idea, because then at least there'd be a dialogue going on and there wouldn't be any rockets being fired or anything, or, air assaults.
but it's
hilarious.
It's funny, though, when the
cool
news,
solution.
when you listen to the news, they're talking about, the Palestinians attacked the Israelis, and I'm thinking, what, with bottle rockets compared to laser-guided missiles is what the Israelis have? Come on.
Well, I compare it to David and Goliath.
Exactly.
It's a David and Goliath situation.
When we went into Afghanistan or even Iraq, what Air Force?
Right.
What Navy? What?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Larry, what is your take on the Israeli-Gaza situation? I don't even think we're getting correct numbers on the casualties there either. I'm hearing all different kinds of numbers. What's your take?
Well, I just want to back up a little bit and say that we need to get Bradley Manning out of prison and get him a Nobel Peace Prize, because he's the one that released those videotapes of the murders in 2007 in Fallujah. I mean, a helicopter just mowed down people trying to get into a car to take some wounded people to a hospital. And there's nowhere near any kind of war activity. And so the latest on Gaza was almost the same thing. Israeli cameras blowing up someone's car. I mean, no one's shooting at anybody, and they're just murdering people. I mean, this is what it's all about, is that they've become
our foreign policy is totally tied with Israel. It's almost like they're the 51st state. I'm getting really tired of it, to be honest. I mean, and even if I write anything like this, write my opinion on Daily Coast or any of these so-called left blogs, I get kicked off, or trolls come and attack me. Or even if I talk about the Florida Democratic Party on Facebook on certain sites like Make It Plain, or I get kicked off or troll filibusters when I'm writing. Does that happen to you guys?
Yes. And I've even had something blocked from Op-Ed News just recently, and I had always
really
liked Op-Ed News, and I was just really surprised. I submitted it like two or three different times, and it wasn't accepted. And I thought, well, wow, I thought that was
There's censorship there, too. Huh.
So I thought, that's a pretty open forum, but up to now I have to wonder just how open is it, And it wasn't like I wasn't known there. I mean, I know a few people that are editing there, and I've also spoken to the person who runs the site several times. He knows who I am. Mm-hmm. And I was quite surprised that I was not allowed to post that article that I had written. So, You know, so there, here we are. We're in censorship. Censorship is alive and well. And we
even
can spend
the
all this time writing letters to the editor,
yeah,
too, but we don't know. We don't know if those are even going to go anywhere, get posted anywhere. We can post online. But I found a lot of times
too.
That when I post online, it gets deleted, like a newspaper I'm talking about.
Well, like, an example of what happened to my husband in the election was newspapers endorse candidates, and of course they always endorse incumbents, but a candidate is allowed to submit a rebuttal. And they gave, the Tampa Bay Times gave him so many words, and he wrote a rebuttal, and he was pretty critical of the media, and they cut it in half.
Oh,
that was
I
his
remember
rebuttal.
That.
They cut his rebuttal in half, and then so he called the editor and complained, and basically he was told, when you submit anything to the newspaper, we basically own it, and we have the right to edit it. The thing is, if they're supposed to be involved in politics and doing endorsements, and they ask for rebuttals, they should print them as is.
Well, the
and
main thing
is
they can end up
the
taking
stuff that happens.
Yeah, they can end up taking stuff out of context that way and totally misrepresent what you are saying if
yeah.
they're cutting a portion of it out.
Well, even
so.
When my husband ran before, and this was in 2008, he ran as a Democrat, he went into these editorial boards and was interviewed. That's one of the requirements for doing, you know, getting endorsed. And I think it was the Times, the so-called liberal paper, had him as being for drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. And no way. I mean, we're total environmental people. I mean, they will take your words and completely put it backwards. And he used to videotape himself when he would go to these editorial boards just to show, just to prove that what he said versus what they wrote was totally different.
Well, you know, I think Sarah Palin had that part right. When she said that she wasn't granting any more interviews, there came a time when she said, I'm not going to be interviewed anymore. Of course, you know, she really, you know, was not that smart, but
mm-hmm.
but
she used to write in her hand.
Thing about it was, she when she finally got that they were, you know, making fun of her, she said, okay, well, I'm just not going to grant any more interviews. And I think she had that right for herself. She
I
did
agree.
Get that right. Not everybody else did that. But I thought, if I was going to run again, I wouldn't grant any interviews. If people want to know, I mean, when I ran before, people called me and asked me, what's your take on this and that and that and that? And I would mm-hmm. answer them. I'd have a conversation with them over the phone. But
the thing is,
I was quite surprised as an environmental person that I didn't get endorsed by the Air Club. They didn't endorse
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah, that they should have. You should have been number one choice.
But they didn't endorse me, and they endorsed I don't believe they endorsed anybody in 2000 or 2010. But they endorsed a Dem this time.
Hmm.
So,
well, even
just,
my husband was endorsed when he ran as a Democrat by Planned Parenthood, NARAL, NOW, unions. When he ran as no party, they didn't endorse anybody in this election cycle. Democrat, because he was a 25-year-old young person, and anybody.
Mm.
But what's with that? They're all afraid. He was good enough in 2006 and 2008 for endorsements, but he runs now in 2012, and he doesn't get endorsed. Everybody's afraid.
Yeah, so where do we go in 2014? It'll just be local elections. How do we groom and get people ready to run in under 2 years? And is that a strategy? Is that an effective strategy, getting no party affiliation and get out there and bang on doors and meet the people in your neighborhood? Is this an effective strategy, or is it not working anymore? You know?
It's almost like a cultural thing.
What about you, Larry? What do you think about that?
Well, you're talking about candidate recruitment, and I think the first thing that anyone on this listening or on this talk phone line here, you need to find someone who, first of all, is informed, informs themselves, and of course also is comfortable speaking before groups. And so my typical idea is everyone knows a teacher, a retired teacher, or a person who's, you know, works in business and talks with people on a daily basis in front of groups of people. I mean, and unless you have the basic skills of communicating, it's you're already handicapping yourself if you've got someone who might be good at sitting home at a computer and typing away and expressing your views that way. But you really do need to be able to communicate door to door and go to all these groups, unions, and League of Women Voters, and the Chamber of Commerce, and everywhere that you need to go to say, look, we have a better idea, we have a better plan, whether it's local or state or county or even national, running for senators or for Congress. But I have to also tell you, there may be, you need to be ready for those. I'm still trying to get my opponent, the incumbent, put in jail. He's actually a criminal. He stole over $500,000 from his campaign funds to pay for an airplane. And
it's
completely illegal. Everyone has to drive to the state capitol, but he flies an airplane. And he pretends that it's a legitimate campaign expense. But I'm sorry, it's not campaigning when you go to work as an elected official. Yet no one is reporting the names of the corporations that gave him all this money, and they have only barely reported the facts that he has, in fact, bought an airplane in the last 5 years with his $500,000 of campaign money to his own personal campaign. Plus, he runs a political action committee that he helped get Newt Gingrich win the presidential primary here. So we're talking about Bobby Harrell, and my website is still open. I'm still running because there will be a special election. He will go to jail as soon as the FBI or the state attorney general finally, you know, brings the charges against him, 110 counts of fraud, because he charged his campaign $900 to fly a 25-minute airplane flight from Charleston to the state capital in Columbia. And everyone's limited to basically about $80 worth of mileage to go from Charleston to work in Columbia. So he thinks he's worth a lot more, and yet it's taxpayer money that's supposed to pay for travel to work, which is not campaign travel. And so I may have a special election. Our mayor election is coming up. We have a Green Party winner. Colleen Condon is running for mayor. So we're going to get rid of our mayor for life. He's been in 37 years, Joseph P. Riley Jr. And, of course, he is for every evil anti-environmental thing coming down the pipe, a $1 billion freeway to nowhere.
Oh, wow.
So we have plenty of things to fight against that the mayor is for. And so that's coming up next year. So there are some odd year elections at cities around the country. And of course, we've got one of the worst governors in U.S. history, Nimrod Haley, here in South Carolina, who vetoed funding for the rape investigation and hospital treatment for rape victims. Almost $1 million to fund for evidence gathering and to catch rapists. And she called it a distraction. She wants it privately funded. I mean, that's how crazy this woman
is. Like Sarah
that we
Palin.
Have for a so-called governor.
Yeah, well, Sarah Palin didn't want to pay for the rape kits.
Yeah, Nikki Haley is Tea Party, right?
Yeah, and she's far to the right of the Republican Party. And so none of the state legislators supported vetoes, and only two senators supported a veto on the rape bill. And, so she's just so extreme, it's pathetic. And yet they vote for her. She attacks unions. She attacks women.
Because they push religion. Just, I mean, you're in South Carolina, right? Isn't it really the Baptist belt there?
Well, yeah,
you make people
my
vote against their interests.
Bobby Harrell is definitely a Baptist. And we had double the turnout in my district, House District 114. And then in House District 115, they had half the turnout. And they're equally divided in population. So he obviously turned out every possible voter he could get. He got 71% of the vote. And there was another Tea Party guy that got 17%, and I got 10%. So it's pathetic that you know, millions of dollars buy votes and you know, put $80,000 worth of postcards in 11,000 homes. I mean, you know, this guy didn't spare any expense to beat me and beat my other opponent, but it's just really bad that we have such a unscientific educational system. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they cut taxes massively here in South Carolina so that the schools have laid off about 14,000 teachers in the last 5 years, and that's how bad that the schools have been cut back. As to where they can't even afford to hire science teachers. They have to have an English teacher teach science courses.
Are you serious? That's how it is?
Obviously, it's more important to say that the Bible is a biology book, and that's the kind of politics we have here in South Carolina.
Yeah.
So tell Larry a little bit about your husband's run, because I think that he will... there will be some camaraderie between the two of them when they understand that pretty much the hijinks are different, but the goal is the same, you know, to suppress the vote, suppress the candidate that's a third-party candidate, and to not silence them and make them...
I could actually put John Russell on right now. Get it from the horse's
mouth. Yeah, John.
Okay, here he is.
Sure.
Talk about your...
Hello.
Hi, yeah. John. We have Larry from South Carolina on the line, and he called in and was telling a little bit about his run and some of the hijinks, political hijinks they're doing in South Carolina. But, you know, fill our listeners and Larry in on what happened with your campaign in Florida District 12.
Okay, everybody. There really is a concerted effort to protect the two-party system. In my race, of course, we had the incumbent, Mr. Bill Arrakis, Gus Bill Arrakis, who he got 66% of the vote. Now, the newspapers were covering up tremendously for this gentleman, who is currently an inactive member of the Jesters, an organization that's a secret society, an offshoot of the Shriners. And this organization, according to the FBI, features, not occasionally, not... from time to time, in any current thought of being just an accidental thing, but all the time, they have prostitutes that attend their events called books or books of the play. People can Google this. Bill Arrakis Jesters, Bill Arrakis Scandal, and they'll get all the information they care to about this organization that's really a frat party for, it's a fraternal organization that, you know, they play off this Shriner's image of helping children and so on and so forth, but and being a bunch of jokesters. But the reality is They're just an organization where old men get together and drink, party for days at a time, and also includes prostitutes. Now, our Democratic, we had to have a Democrat in there. The Democrat was a 25-year-old kid who works at Walgreens. And, of course, this messed up the dynamic of the entire race. You know, when I entered the race, I entered it with, because this is a conservative area, lots of people will not vote for a damn Democrat, which maybe in Carolina there may be something of the same thing going on. Well, the kid's in there, and the Democrats, I don't know who, where the adults were in this situation, but so the newspapers, the media is our biggest problem. The media is there to protect the two-party system. So they actively put this, the kid up as the feature opponent against the Bill Arrakis, the incumbent. And then there happened to be another guy who popped in as another NPA at the last minute after we had found out and stopped the division of elections from padding petition card totals and putting another NPA on earlier. It seems almost too wild to imagine, but the lengths that are gone to protect fools like Mr. Bill Arrakis and protect the two-party system from any kind of threat. The real issue is here: how do we penetrate this? So we have to create our own media. And Anita, you're doing something along those lines here. The problem is too many people still believe in the newspapers. They don't understand the propaganda, and we have that going on right now with reference to this, the issues going over in Gaza with Israel. And how that story is being mistold constantly on CNN. They make out as if the Gaza, the Hamas has started this whole thing and is hammering Tel Aviv with these missiles that have a range of 4 kilometers. I mean, it's ridiculous. So, at any rate, I think we have a lot of work to do. And Jill Stein, I am proud to say that I voted for Jill Stein. I did not vote for one of the corporatist bookends. And I think what we're going to see here, I'm not even casually, Mr. Obama is the perfect answer to the corporatists in really taking apart Social Security and Medicare, and it's going to be it's high time that some people who have been supporting this government that we have, they call themselves Democrats, get to know what the Democrats are really all about. And if you don't even have to watch that closely, they're all talking about it. Whether it's Nancy Pelosi, they've all put these programs on the line to put us, to really shorten the lives of really the middle class and the poor. They raise the retirement age. If we don't have access to health care and we don't have incomes in an era where Wall Street can't be trusted, where there are no pensions, We're gonna have shorter lives. So that's I guess my opinion. People can read more what I'm about at johnrussellforcongress.com for whatever time we have left in leaving that website up.
Thank you, John. John, what is your take on the secessionist movement?
Well, I went by the gun range yesterday, and I think there's a lot of people who are, again, a misinformed public. The peril of the uninformed, the misdirected, the misinformed voter. I mean, how could 100,000 people vote for a 25-year-old kid who works as a clerk at Walgreens for Congress? Or, obviously, you know, vote for a guy like Mr. Bill Arrakis, who, you know, is really against their interests. It's just that the people, I mean, the powers that be, and whoever you want to, you know, however you want to characterize them, we can't put our finger on them, but we have an idea who they are. They know that the people are too busy to pay anything more than cursory attention to what's going on politically, the vast majority that that votes. And if you're a Fox News person, even if you're on the so-called on the left, Mr. Obama is no lefty. Mr. Obama is George Bush with a tan, as some people have said, only worse. So if you look at his policies, but still he's characterized as a socialist. That's far from the truth, as we know, the informed. And so, you know, what's going to happen? I don't think there is much that we're going to be able to do about it. You're doing something about it for however many people listen to your show. I'm going to try and inform people through various means to whatever extent that that's possible. And there's lots of other people that try and do the same. But the overwhelming inertia of what is characterized as the mainstream media with its propaganda, the corporate propaganda, the governmental propaganda working in unison, you know, people are gonna continue to believe what they're gonna believe, that Mr. Obama's a socialist when he's not. He's a corporatist, best defined by Mussolini, you know, way back in the last century. So we're in a very bad position going forward. And it's the corporatists are in control of government from the city council all the way up to the president of the United States, irrespective of who sits in the White House. I really believe that Mr. Romney was put up there to lose, because why would the people that the corporatists that run this country, why would they want anyone other than Mr. Obama there to finish the job? And then we'll have, following Mr. Obama, more than likely, Jeb Bush. And he's said trying to position himself as some kind of a moderate. Well, the job will be pretty well 90% done as far as the undoing of middle and lower echelon America by the time Mr. Obama gets through with it, with a Congress that represents nothing along our lines. Of course, we have Alan Grayson, who they have to have someone in there since Kucinich is gone. Otherwise, it looks like too big of a whitewash. But what can one person do, even if Alan Grayson were so motivated to do exactly what I would have done were I to be in his position? So, yeah, it's gonna be tough for people going forward, and tougher still for younger people. What are their options? Go in the military? To fight for ExxonMobil. We're in bad shape, and it is becoming increasingly evident to even those who don't pay that much attention to things, but only in their individual spheres that affect them, loss of jobs, nowhere to turn for retirement. When they do the job on Social Security and turn Medicare into something less than it is, and the rest of us have vouchers for insurance, whether it's for health insurance, whether people are over 65 or they're 35, it's really going to be much more than it is now, a Darwinian America. So I don't know. I don't want to bore anyone that's listening, but we pay a lot of attention to this stuff, and it is what it is. And what can they do when we need to really increase benefits from Social Security by funding it from the people who can afford to fund it? We need to take the cap off. I said don't take the cap off all the way, but raise it from $110,000 a year to $10 million a year, and increase it to $50 million a year, subject to FICA, over the next 8 years. Giving the first $12,000 of income for everyone, making that exempt from FICA, so that people at the lower income levels would have more money in their pocket, but still expanding and saving and strengthening Social Security, what it is and what it could be, and Medicare for all, obviously. That's the only real cure for our health care financing problems.
Had mentioned to Larry about candidate recruitment, and I kind of wanted to get your take on that too, John. Do you think we are too late? Do you think that we're too late to develop a strategy for 2014 or 2016? Do you think we're past the tipping point in regards to getting third-party candidates in office in upcoming elections? I tend to believe we're past the tipping point, but that's me. I mean, if anybody else is out there that's more hopeful than me, then call us and get into this conversation. But, John, what's your take on that?
I would say I'm fairly experienced at this point with reference to, and this is, this was probably the best opportunity if the Democrats had left well enough alone and someone had stood up on the Democratic side and said, listen, get Mr. let's have Mr. Snow run for something else, because for crying out loud, he was the Democratic candidate that I talk about, 25 years old, works at Walgreens. Lord knows it wasn't like they didn't have any slots for this kid. I mean, we had a sheriff's candidate, we had a property appraiser, and a guy running for county commission. Everything else was settled in the primaries, unopposed in this area, and it would have been an entirely different dynamic with versus Gus Bilirakis, and even if Mr. Elliott was still in there, it still would have been because it would have been certain who was who. So what we're up against is, and I failed to mention, this is a wink and a nod conspiracy. Only takes two people to make a conspiracy when you have people trusting the AARP voter guide. How many times was AARP referred to? Well, we have a complaint into the IRS to revoke AARP's tax-exempt status because of their, it's quite obvious who was the more you know, appropriate person, or at least include myself on their voter guide for comparison purposes with the incumbent, Mr. Bill Arrakis, Mr. Snow, who is just the other side of being a paper boy, and myself with all of my background, both professionally, healthcare, an important issue, finance, economics, and politically. I mean, I've won two elections. You know,
right.
But they wouldn't put me in, put my name in there. And you know, we have to look at, well, what's the IRS doing about this? We have a complaint into the Federal Election Commission. What's going to happen with that? The newspapers. We have a tremendous fight on our hands, and I'm going to write an op-ed news article that kind of condenses this a little better, you know. And the FBI, for crying out loud, this situation with the Division of Elections, clear cut, dead to rights. Division of Elections was padding Mr. Kevin Hall, who was the other no party affiliation candidate, and you can look up his website, Hall for Congress, whatnot. This guy was the first blocker that somebody put up, you know, then followed by Mr. Elliott, who we feel, you know, quite assuredly was put up to this too, both by his behavior on the campaign trail and by information I received from someone very close to him who understands Mr. Elliott's, you know, ability to self-finance and so on and so forth to the tune of $31,000, I guess, mostly his money for billboards, and so it's a big show. So when we're talking about the FBI and the FBI, you know, I give them everything, hard copy evidence, what went on, witnesses, solid witnesses, you know, Mark Adams and Ryan, who's both of whom legal backgrounds. Myself, my wife, and the hard copy evidence of what went on based at the Division of Elections, and give the FBI the people to talk to, and yet they come back to me after it went to the gatekeeper, and both of the FBI agents, the lower echelon guys that I spoke to, got it 100%, saw exactly what I was talking about. The fixing of the results of a congressional election before vote number one was ever cast, and by putting, you know, by messing up the ballot, so to speak, and by putting more people on the ballot and doing it illicitly, and so that just basically the math just does the work for itself, and the incumbent slides through. Well, the bottom line is, they said, well, it could have been a clerical error. Absolutely impossible by the mechanics of how the people are put on the ballot with the petition card process, or we don't have a person identified that committed a felony. Well, you know, my question in my head, I didn't say this at the time on the phone when I was talking to the agent communicating that his supervisor said they weren't going to open an investigation on what I had presented, was what is it about the word investigation that the Federal Bureau of Investigation does not understand? If I have to do all the investigative work before and hand you the person on a silver platter, and you guys can't even go ask some questions of a girl that works down at the Hillsborough County Supervisor of Elections, then I think that this problem is really more wide-ranging and deeper, and protecting the two-party system. So when we talk about third-party candidates, I love Jill Stein. I talked to Jill Stein. I called in the WMNF, and she agreed that the media aspect, it's the corporations. What kind of government do we have? We have a corporatist government, absolutely, and as accurately and perfectly put as Benito Mussolini put it, you know, back in whatever it was, 1940 or whatnot. So to answer the question in a very short way, the problem for us to try and break this down is communication, is the mass media, and it really makes it virtually impossible for a breakthrough to occur with reference to this game that really is one party. It's the AFC and the NFC divisions of the NFL, and nobody's going to break in with the World Football League. You know, and when it's predicated, when the entire process is predicated purely on money, that's the other end of it, which, of course, you know, both of us have been associated with David Cobb. And that's not going to happen when the people in charge who have to make the changes to get the money out of politics are the ones who directly benefit from the system that's currently in place. So I don't see how this is going to change through ordinary means. It's just not, unless they go too far, which Obama is the soft target from the standpoint of he can go a lot further than a Mitt Romney or a Republican could. He is the best placator in American history. He can sell all his supporters, no matter what he does, that he's doing it for their own good. And
right.
You know, so this is there's no surprise that Mr. Obama is returned to the White House. Mr. Romney was a poor candidate and the perfect foil for continuation of this fiasco that is American politics and representation of the few at the expense of the many. It is fascism is what it is, and it's American style fascism, and people do die in this country at the hands of government, in directly and indirectly. And before Mr. Obama, I never saw Black Hawk helicopters flying back and forth here in Pasco County. I don't know what more to tell you. The details are not too difficult to ascertain at this point. When we have numbskulls like Mr. Bilirakis in office that are returned there through a system that is so dysfunctional as to be, you know, nearly beyond comprehension. You know, people dying slowly because of lack of health care or lack of income. Where are we with that? It's the actuarial tables used by the insurance company to determine premiums and benefits and so on and so forth. The actuarial tables are being altered in this country through governmental policy along socioeconomic lines. It means working people at the bottom and in the middle of the scale. Again, we need less workers economically with automation and the exporting of jobs to places where people work for pennies a day. The actuarial tables are being modified according along socioeconomic lines through these tools: lack of health care, lack of income, increased stress for that matter across the board, lack of education. A less educated population is more malleable and persuadable to accept the nonsense that's put out of Washington. And Florida is at the absolute tip of the spear with, Will Weatherford in charge, a guy who's never had a real job. They're pumping him up. He will be running for Congress or Senate, in the next, 2 to 4 years. They will be running this guy, I kid you not, for president within 10 years, unless he makes a big blunder. I'm not even kidding.
Well,
he's the next Marco Rubio.
I believe that too, and because I've met him in person, I can speak to 1 year, over 1 year now of being underemployed or unemployed, with nothing, no future ahead of me, and of course, I'm in a demographic which is actually the highest demographic for the unemployed. Being over 50 and being a widow is the highest demographic. And they keep talking about young people not having jobs. The highest demographic is a widowed woman over 50. And I cannot tell you all that are listening, or you, Larry, or you, John, or Charisse, I suffered from some forms of PTSD much earlier in my life when I had gotten out of the service and lost my husband at the same time. But the PTSD and the stress level that I've endured just this past year is nothing compared to that. Nothing. Feeling not only devalued as a person because I'm not working and not in a career or not useful enough, but feeling traumatized and actually having several instances where I did the work and didn't get paid this past year, was even added more trauma to the current situation. So I can speak from personal experience on how this affects everything. When we don't have the jobs, it affects families, it affects children, it affects the stress levels.
Why did that woman kill her two kids and kill herself 2-3 weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, that's just a perfect example.
And that's only one that you heard about.
Yeah, the thing about it is
one of Charisse's
that point
students
where
killed herself.
Hopeless when you don't have any hope left at all. And I've been there. You know, it's
yeah.
Charisse
had two students this year died from suicide. Young people. The hell are they killing themselves for? Hopelessness.
Yeah, this is. We're going to see a lot of this.
Well, they're going to try and shield the public's eyes from this, as much as possible. Listen, I have to get going. I have to work tomorrow.
Okay.
This is lingering aspects of the campaign, for getting to take a little time off, leaving work early and stuff, so I have to work tomorrow. But, hey, I have a job, and, look at it this way. If they do something radically dramatic to Medicare is the basis, the financial foundation of all of healthcare in America. Whether you're 25 and got health insurance, or you're 80 and you have Medicare or a Medicare disadvantage plan, so to speak, Medicare is pivotal. And if they do anything too ridiculous with Medicare, the cure for Medicare, of course, is Medicare for All, allowing us to buy into it. But the insurance companies won't let Obama do it. So and that goes back to Margaret Flowers and all these people, like Margaret Flowers and Jill Stein, all on the right page. I encourage people to go to my website, johnrussellforcongress.com, and look at some of the policies that I have, but I'm going to try and preserve the policies even if I'm not a candidate anymore for any public office, but get the ideas out there one way or another. And again, Obama wants pressure on him. Well, we need to put pressure on him, and through disseminating information that there are answers to these problems other than putting the whole burden on the backs of the middle class and the poor. We can create jobs in this country. But we have to take a different tact, and that tact may require some sacrifice from old line powers that be, whether it's the power companies or the oil companies, banks especially. Amazingly, Lloyd Blankfein, the CEO of Goldman Sachs, is going to be a big guest on CBS News or something next week. For crying out loud, this guy's a criminal. Look at what we do here. This is part of the problem. This is fascism. Criminal enterprise coupled with the media and these people being, postulated by the media and then aligned with government. It's really brutal, and people need to pay attention to history. So with that, I'll let you go, Anita, and I appreciate you having us on, and I'll give you back to Charisse, okay?
Hey, thanks
so much.
Larry, did you have anything to address with what John said? Any thoughts or comments or wisdom?
Well, absolutely. John did not describe anything inaccurately. I would only add a large measure of hope, because there's a lot of things they can do today and tomorrow and in the next year or so. For example, there are three states that you can elect a single elector to the Electoral College: Arizona, Nebraska, and Maine. So, you know, if, for example, a candidate would campaign heavily in those three states, they could pick off 2, 3, 4, 5 electoral votes in the state of Arizona and 1 or 2 in Nebraska. Obama got 1 electoral vote in Nebraska in 2008. Now, they did redistrict, so the gerrymandering is not as hopeful in Nebraska as it was 4 years ago. But the state of Maine, again, they just elected Angus King, who is, you know, an independent. He just absolutely refused to play the Democrat or Republican game. Nonetheless, he'll still be voting with Harry Reid in the Senate. But we have Tammy Baldwin, who... was not perfect, but she may actually grow a conscience and filibuster. You know, maybe she'll put a backbone behind Al Franken, who did almost nothing to stop NDAA, just a very weak floor vote, 38 votes to strip the repeal of Posse Comitatus. That people need to know. They are flying drone aircraft all over all 50 states in America. That was illegal until Obama signed the law last year. So there's plenty of problems, and I just refuse to be unhopeful, because there are so many things we can do, and when we do it well, that creates space, and it also takes time away from those who are repressing us, who are suppressing us. If they have to spend their resources to stop us, that means they can't be selling their lives and their agenda somewhere else. I mean, it is a zero-sum game. There's only so much political capital in the entire race of all the races. And of course, besides the fact that we could change a fourth or fifth state, we only need 3 more states to adopt the Equal Rights Amendment. And don't let anyone tell you you have to have an extension or some new reintroduction or anything like that. And we already did get 1 extension anyway. All it takes is just Florida or Illinois or Louisiana or Virginia or South Carolina for the legislatures to adopt the Equal Rights Amendment. And that is really going to bring a lot of hope to women of all ages when it makes the you know, the Constitution says it's illegal to discriminate on account of sex. So, and of course, state by state, more and more states are legalizing marijuana, either medical or recreational. And of course, to make it industrial hemp, we can grow the economy in a different direction instead of all the plastics and all the chemicals that are poisoning our planet. So, there's so many good things that you can do by referendum in many of the referendum states. And, you know, you get 5 or 10 or 20 people armed with a petition, and you can get a referendum in a county or a city in many states. And it is a big job in California, you know, almost 1 million signatures, but you can get a referendum issue onto the ballot. And you define it. You can write it the way you want it, whoever that you might be in one state or another. But, you know, the bottom line is that the system is still open somewhat. So anybody who starts campaigning right now in Iowa, in all 99 counties, if they want to build an organization, they can knock off a party win in Iowa in the caucuses. And that's not impossible to do. I asked Cindy Sheehan to do that, and she didn't want to. I mean, she's waiting for the revolution. She just doesn't want to, even though she did somehow say yes to Roseanne Barr on to two state ballots in the Peace and Freedom Party. Nonetheless, had she, you know, done what I asked her to do way back in May of 2011, she could have been campaigning on the Fort Calhoun, Nebraska meltdown. And people need to know that it's actually a Homeland Security law that they can order pilots to not say anything about a no-fly zone over a nuke plant, because the release of radiation actually affects your ability to communicate by radio as a pilot. And so pilots were told, don't fly over it and don't tell anyone because this is a national security secret. Now, that's how crazy our system is right now. But courageous people at Channel 7, NBC affiliate in Omaha, broke the story. They just didn't. They didn't care if that Obama might, you know, put them in jail for violating Homeland Security gag orders.
I remember when all that was going on, and I was combing YouTube for videos or any information, and the story just kind of died a natural death. Do you remember that, Charisse? Because I think I might have been forwarding some of that stuff to you as well.
I don't remember that.
That was Fort Calhoun. It was a little north of Omaha.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. That was last year.
Yeah, it was last year.
Yeah,
during the
and it was Nebraska and
New Madrid.
Right, I do remember that. And then it just kind of died down. And I wondered what happened to that, because they had, what, flooding and also it was
had everything.
It was a flooding situation there at the nuclear power plant. And, yeah, I don't know whatever happened with it.
I saw videos
yeah,
of
I
the flooding.
That.
I knew that was a true story because I saw the flooding for myself in the video.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they got the shots of it, but somebody actually went into that whole area, and they could have been killed. They could have been shot at, but they got in there with their video cameras.
Even now, we don't even hear about Japan.
No,
what's
nothing about
it. I mean, anything that affects lives and then interferes with corporate money is suppressed.
Yeah, Helen Caldicott, I just got something that crossed my desk that she will be in Japan tomorrow, and she will be doing a tour. In fact, I can't remember where I found it, but I just had it right on my desktop and probably just shut it off right before the show. But she's doing a tour through Japan. So she didn't say, when I saw her last year speak live, she didn't say she was going to go to Japan. In fact, from what she said, I assume she would stay as far away as she could. So the fact that she's going there is quite surprising. You know, she really wants
to pay me with the exposure.
And I guess, you know, she is a true warrior. I just look at her and I see the goddess Bass, which actually is the goddess that rules over nuclear power, believe it or not.
Oh, my goodness.
Very fierce lioness. And it's funny because she's a Leo, too. So I had to metaphysical part about her. I just see her as a very strong Bast-type goddess energy, and she's going to go there, and she's going to tell them in her very blunt way, as she always does, exactly what they're going to experience with nuclear exposure, with prolonged nuclear exposure.
Yeah,
so that's what it was
cancer.
Something having to do with that. It was the title of the tour. So, and she's trying to save people. That's what she's trying to do. So we've had some interesting conversations here tonight. I don't even know how to wrap it up except to
mostly,
give an update.
I'd say media, what we were talking about. Really, media seems to be the real stumbling block for third parties.
And the other thing, I just did want to throw this important news in. There was another Gulf Oil rig fire. I believe it happened early yesterday, and there are two people missing. So, and I believe there were casualties. I don't have all the information. I haven't been able to catch up with it today, but it's currently running story, and I think they showed a little bit of it on the news
yesterday.
Do you
know where it is as far as the location?
Is it 80 miles from the Macondo. So this is another thing.
Who owns
that,
the rig? Do you know if it's BP again or somebody else?
There, it's a linked company. It's a company that's linked to the Deepwater Horizon ownership as well. Let me see if I can get more information real quick here. But
yeah, because I just kind of saw a glimpse. They'd rather have Petraeus in the news, I guess. Anything that matters.
Yeah, 4 burned, like, 2 missing in Gulf of Mexico oil rig fire. Pardon me. And it says, New Orleans, the Coast Guard was searching Friday for 2 workers missing after a fire erupted on an oil platform. They say it's Mexican, but somebody did a trace, and I read about it on a Facebook post, that the company that owns them is linked, Black Elk. Black Elk is an independent oil and gas company headquartered in Houston, Texas.
Hmm.
But they are linked to the Macondo ownership as well. So, and I'll try to get more information on that. But that's the status of it right now, is the fact that there's 4 burned, 2 missing.
Wow.
And they are looking for those.
I mean, you know, people just look at it like, oh, well, but those are people's families. Those are people's husbands. Those are people's uncles. Those are people.
And I
don't take it lightly.
Yeah, I'm always asking, you know, what happens when there's a fire and all this stuff is out in the, in the Gulf?
In the air.
It's released into the air. And then we have the big Assumption Parish sinkhole, which is actually emitting, it's emitting all kinds of chemicals.
Well, we don't know what's going on. If there's an explosion, we don't know what's going on under the sea and how deep that well is. I mean, it's another disaster.
And I've been saying all along, I think they cracked it down there, and they can't fix it, and they don't know what to do. So now the problem's compounding because the land isn't stable there anymore. And it's causing other things to happen everywhere else. So,
I mean, anytime you start drilling as deep as they're going, and it's just like the fracking, and we're noticing a rash of earthquakes.
Right.
In areas where they're doing a lot of fracking and drilling, period. We're messing with the mother. You don't do that.
It finally admitted that the earthquakes were probably associated with the fracking and any kind of oil drilling. So, this is an admission, but when it comes to any cataclysmic thing, they're going to say they never said that, or they're never going to bring it up again.
Oh, yeah.
But, so there you go. This is all linked. As John said, it's corporatism. This is all linked.
Exactly.
It's corporatism in exchange for human lives.
I wish I could be hopeful. And maybe because I'm just burned out and tired, because, my husband's run for office. We've put a lot of our own energy and our own selves. And when you run for office, you're out there on display, and the newspapers make up things. It's really hard. People don't even know what it's like. You spend a lot of money. You give up a lot. And I'm just burned out.
Well,
I don't feel hopeful. Sorry.
I'm traumatized by so much of this, and the fact that I just keep thinking down the road, do I want to run for office again? And I, right now I say no, but if I am going to do that, number one, I want to make a livelihood if I'm going to do it. And with the office I hold now, I don't make anything.
Yeah.
I would like to be paid if I'm going to do something like this again.
Yeah.
But other than that, do I really want to be, as I'm going into my supposed to be golden years, do I really want to serve the people? And why do I want to do that? It's a more important question.
That's a good question.
Why do I want everybody to know my business, and why do I want people to say bad things about me?
Yeah.
And it all boils down to, because I really feel sincerely about wanting to serve, but I don't, you know, I'm one of the few people that can say I serve and I don't get my hands dirty,
it's true.
That's not something I'm willing to do. So,
and people,
you know,
sell out. I think a lot of people go in.
Yeah, I'm not ever going to sell out, and that's not my...
That's another reason to not belong to a party or have parties. It's easy for corruption, I think, when you're an individual. One interesting thing about the congressional race, though, in District 12, the incumbent did not campaign. He did not show up at any forum. There were no TV commercials. There were just a few lawn signs. He had, I believe, about like $235,000, and he did not spend it. He'll probably retire, and then he'll get to keep all that money. Because that's what happens, I believe, after they retire. Let's say next term he decides not to run, he gets to keep it. So 65% of the people here voted for him, and he did not even campaign. It's default vote.
Yeah, I just don't get that.
Yeah, they just, and the Democrat, anybody, a turnip can run as a Democrat and a turnip can run as a Republican, and they will always get 65-35. It seems to be the ratio down the board. You can look at it throughout the state and even in other races. I mean, we've often wondered if that's just the formula that they put into the computers, you know, when they do the hacking. I say that facetiously, but half serious. It's always 65-35.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, another thing that many people don't know about this incumbent is he has refused in previous elections to debate.
Not just this one. We did see him debate a couple terms ago against Phyllis Busansky, and she creamed him, and she was going light on him too. And the debate took place in the studios of WEDU, and everybody was laughing because Mr. Bilirakis, if you see him, he has a speech impediment. He does not
look
good.
Well, he's deaf. He wears a hearing aid, so
that's why he speaks funny. Well, to be politically incorrect, but you know what I mean. That's probably why his speech is the way it is. And even when he did TV commercials, he doesn't look good. Let's face it. He has an impediment, and he mispronounces words. He has to, even in Congress, he has to sit there with a speech in front of him. He's not able to really work off the cuff.
Right.
And
right.
Commercials are done by his children or other people, a narrator. He doesn't speak.
He probably has a very, he probably has a very self-conscious feeling about speaking. But, you know, mm-hmm. I just wonder how much he's actually hearing as well. So.
That too, but even if he is deaf, and I can speak from experience because I wear hearing aids, so you know I know about this. But he doesn't look good, and he only would show up to fundraising events to line his pocket, basically, because he wasn't spending it, and he just didn't show up for anything. And if you think about it, as a public servant, we should have been able to question him. It's like going through review time for, you know, what employers do to employees. It's review time, and you have to answer to why you voted a certain way or what you intend to do. We weren't given that opportunity, and nobody insists upon it. And even when we find these infractions today, and I don't know how it is in other states, but in Florida, like John was saying, if you go to the FBI or if you file a complaint, nothing ever happens. The system is totally broken. The foxes are watching the hen house, and everything is so entrenched that they're not going to rat out their friends. There's so much nepotism going on with judges and so-called impartial people.
Yeah, and
they're all tied.
We saw, you and I saw some of that right in the live courtroom. So,
oh boy,
which is,
did we ever.
You know, the justice system isn't even meted out for the working class, the poor, or the middle class. It's now all about the money. And if you don't have the money and a good attorney, you ain't, excuse the French, but you ain't shit. So that's exactly the way it is.
Well,
so,
even look at protesting. When we've gone out protesting, I mean, the Tea Party people don't get arrested. They carry weapons, too. I mean, and here, John and I were attacked, mobbed, assaulted by Tea Party people and kicked and hit and punched, and the cops just stood there. And had we even fought back, we would have had the handcuffs slapped on our wrists.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's a total double standard against anybody that tries to question the system, go against it, tries to out people when they do wrongdoings. I mean, our core belief system, John and I have, is to fight injustice. But I feel beaten down because I've been doing it for so long, and every time we do blow the whistle or we do find problems that are black and white, nothing's ever done.
Yeah, I'm feeling that.
Yeah. I mean, you can catch people red-handed. And even when someone runs for office and they're a known criminal, like Larry was saying about the gentleman in South Carolina, and even our own Governor Scott in Florida, to me, he's an unconvicted felon. He should be arrested for all the doings with HCA.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there's just a protection, and a lot of it goes back to socioeconomic differences. If you have money and you're wealthy and you're connected, you walk free.
Right.
And if you're not, if you don't have connections, you're thrown into jail. You have no recourse. People here literally in Florida walk away scot-free when they've committed murder. Look at all the cases where these different girls have run over people. Homeless people, or the one girl that ran over the African American children and got off scot-free, not even one day in jail.
And we never heard about anything about that after it was over. It was just over,
no,
and
it just disappeared
out of the news. Gone. Well, we're down to the last 6 minutes, Larry. I wanted you to just give us a few parting thoughts. I want to thank you for being on the show, and give us your website, too, so we can read more about what you're doing up there in South Carolina.
Well, thank you. And it really is great to hear your folks' story. And I want to encourage you, yes, take a break if you need to, and watch the Eddie Murphy movie with James Garner, the distinguished gentleman, and get a laugh out of the Florida Congress race. And if you don't remember that movie, you'll enjoy it. But it's very, very true. It has Tip O'Neill in it and Tom Arkin in it, and you know, cameos. And so it looks real, but it's still a good fitting laugh. Now, my website is www.firelarryfirebobby.com.
Can you spell that out for us? Yeah, because it's kind of hard to hear on the radio.
Okay, it's H-I-R-E.
Okay.
L-A-R-R-Y.
Okay.
F-I-R-E. B-O-B-B-Y.
Okay.
FireLarryFireBobby.com. And so, yeah, and yes, you're right. I mean, no one's indicted this man yet, and I'm not going to shut up. I'll continue to call the news media. I'll continue to call the House Ethics Chair, Roland Smith. I'll continue to call the Attorney General, the FBI. I'll talk to as many people as it takes till, that this man is indicted. I mean, that's just what we have to do. And if you've got the energy and want to show that you're committed to justice and honesty and decency in government, that's what we have to do. But I have a Twitter account. It's at VoteLarryDIS114, which says the whole thing. I'm asking people to vote for Larry, and my district number is 114. And my email address is my name, Larry_Carter_Center@yahoo.com. And I'm very proud to be helping the Green Party grow here in South Carolina. I was very proud to be at the national convention in Baltimore. Got to cast 5 votes for Jill Stein and 1 vote for Roseanne Barr. So being part of a party is a way of building up coalition and movements and foot soldiers to get 46 county organizations growing, so that you can be on the ballot and can have local people making phone calls and putting out signs and knocking on doors and hand delivering things that cost 45 cents, to mail something, whereas mm-hmm. volunteers can cover a precinct in a day. So, folks, a party is, they call it a party because you can have fun at this. And it's, I would much rather spend a weekend trying to help somebody win an election than I would just watching a football game or just drinking a beer and forgetting that it only gets worse if we let it get worse. And when we do fight it, they've got to spend their energies kind of hiding out or spinning their crimes into some sort of a hero for their constituency. So be a good cheer and take a break if you need to and keep up the good fight.
Thank you, Larry. And
Charisse,
you got a couple of parting thoughts for us before we close? We're down to 2 minutes.
Well, personally, I am burned out and I do need a rest. Maybe I'll get inspired again, but I think until then I'll play my ukulele.
I think that's great, and I'm doing my knitting and my artwork and all of that.
I think we need a break, Anita.
I've been watching, like Larry says, I've been watching comedy. In fact, I'll probably turn on a little Jimmy Fallon here in a few minutes and get a couple of belly laughs in before I go to bed. But I
thank
find
you,
that
Anita.
Laughter lightens the soul. And I really need the laughter, and I definitely need to feel hopeful about 2014 and 2016. So I'm going to keep on plugging along. And we all don't know what's going to happen with December 21st either, 2012. So I tend to think that'll be a spiritual awakening. That's how I look at it.
I think New York City already suffered it.
And I think the spiritual awakening is coming, and I think it's going to take a lot of different ways to get us to that point. But, okay, we're down to the last 39.
All right. Well, thanks for doing your show and keeping us informed and keeping everything going. I know it's hard to do all the time and stay motivated with all these things happening.
I'd love to have all of you back on again, too, so we'll talk about that another time. But in the meantime, anybody that wants to check us out online, see us at wisewomenmedia.posteris.com, and we'll see you this week at the same time, same place, Friday night at 11 p.m. Eastern. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.